In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So let's start today a little differently. In years past, I've talked about Thomas, but you've sat here, you've heard the readings today. What caught your eye? What did you notice? What did you see? What jumped out at you? Not a trick question. I mean, when you heard these things, what struck your ear? What perked your ear up? What made it seem important? What made it seem that this was what you needed to listen to?
Thomas doubting Christ's children.
Don't touch me.
That's actually very good political commentary for this day and age, isn't it? Anyone else?
As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Anything else?
The disciple speaking against the powers that be.
Disciples speaking against the powers that be. Jen's actually got an inside track on this. I'm actually surprised that nobody else said this. And so, Easter Sunday, you know, Good Friday we talk about the pain Christ goes through. Easter Sunday, I spoke to you amidst the pain and suffering of the Sri Lankans who were bombed into oblivion. About this spark that is going out from Easter, right? You remember the sermon about the spark, right? This continues on. As I pondered this even more, when I read the first reading, there is something that really, really hit me hard. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." That's not the part that really jumped out. Here it comes. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." In the context of this spark that has gone out, and this is how you need to think of it. You had the disciples sitting there being told by the leaders of society, "You will not say this name. You will not speak of it. You will not tell people what he did. We do not want to hear it. End of discussion." They went out and did it anyway. They understood that spark that had gone out and what it meant to everyone. What does that have to do with Thomas? You got to remember, Thomas was battered, broken, and bruised. By the time these words were uttered, Thomas had already seen the risen Lord. But Thomas was broken. The guy that he followed, the guy that he thought was the Messiah, he watched be killed and buried. And he goes through it all and says something that honestly is not unreasonable, is it? When confronted with the option, he doesn't take it. Can you imagine Thomas's experience when he sees the Lord stand before him? I'm guessing that Thomas probably could not stand. It was interesting. When I was at seminary, we had a fellow student. He was a year above me and about 10 years younger. His name was Lars. Lars looked exactly like you would think his name sounds. He was about this tall on me, blonde hair, blue-eyed, Scandinavian. Just before Lars came into the seminary, his brother was killed in a horrific car crash. Lars was one of the smartest people I've ever met and developed such a passion for the gospel, for God's people, for truth, for peace. But I will never forget Lars when he understood the spark. His brother, killed in a horrific car crash, somebody that he was close to. To watch him on Good Friday when the cross was processed in, you understood what it was to submit to God's rule. I'm going to attempt to demonstrate it. And I'm going to do a very poor job of it. Because I'm older and it's a long way down. But he would come up to that cross that he had put his all in. And he would walk. And people normally will kneel at the three different spots walking up to the cross. Lars would walk, every footstep seeming heavy. And he would get to the cross, or the place he was supposed to stop and reverence the cross. And all he did was this. And he would lay there. And he would weep. And he would get up. And he would go to the next spot. And he would fall down. That had such an impact on me. Here is a guy, young, great shape, could have anything he wants, lost his brother. Most people would not be surprised if he left the church. But Lars understood that spark in a way that the rest of us did not. Was so passionate about it that collapsed at the very thought of what God does for us. Do you get it? Collapsed at the thought of what God does for us. That spark goes out. The disciples are told, don't speak, don't utter, don't even think about the name of Christ. And 2,000 years later, Lars cannot even stand up when facing the cross. He will not be silent. He will not stop. He cannot say any less. Lars, in the loss of his brother, clutched tightly to his Lord. It drove him to read Scripture and study all that he could. Allow me to demonstrate a slightly different way. What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you find comfort in? For me, growing up, it was volleyball. My dad can tell you, I would literally spend every waking hour playing volleyball. I would go to camps. I would watch videos. I watched beach volleyball. I played beach volleyball. I would do everything in my power to become a great volleyball player. And I was good. I couldn't jump the highest. I couldn't move the fastest. But I didn't stop. I didn't give up. It did help that I had a 95 mile an hour spike. Less volleyballs were returned. But I didn't stop. I know people that have gone through life and their hobbies are stained glass, and they learn everything they can about stained glass, or model rocketry, and they try to develop better rockets. I know fishermen, fly fishermen, who will spend hours upon hours upon hours tying the perfect fly and learning the perfect cast. I know guys that are passionate about cars to the point that they will spend decades tweaking a single carburetor to get just a little more out of it. I know people that are so passionate about their careers that they will spend every waking moment going through and learning all that they can in an endeavor to be the best. Why, when it comes to Christianity, do we go, yeah, whatever? Why, when it comes to Christianity, do we sit there and do the most ludicrous things, or find it not to be important, or only hear the readings on Sunday, or maybe don't come to church all the time, or don't want to participate in Bible studies, never cracking a book at home, never finding anything else out about it? That's not a St. Francis problem, that's a Christian problem. Not so much in like the Southern Cone and things like that. They, much like Lars, have discovered this is their all. Jen can tell you, when I came back to the church, how many books I devoured and how fast I devoured them. How many things I read and began to put together. How often I read Scripture. I approached my faith like I approached my volleyball. I want to know everything. Put that in comparison. When people watch me play volleyball, they say that I move like somebody from the Matrix. That's not a joke. I take that same passion and I bring it to my faith. Powers and principles and people in authority, society itself will say, do not utter the name of Christ. My response is, I will serve God. Period. Full stop. That is what Doubting Thomas did when he realized that the Lord was risen. That is why Christ has the statement that he has. Do you believe because you have seen, Thomas? Blessed are they who have not seen and still believe. That is the spark that goes out on Easter. It ignites our souls, forever burning them, driving us forward towards God. Think about that. What are you passionate about? And why do you not approach your faith in the same manner?